Well, good morning to you, and I'm glad that we're all here together today. That's a wonderful Resurrection Day. And oddly enough, that's what I'm going to talk about this morning, is the resurrection. Imagine that. And if I ever find my place in the Bible, I'll be able to read the scripture that I've chosen. There's going to be a lot of scripture that I will be reading as part of my message this morning. I can't think of a better way to say it than the Word of God says it. Amen? Amen. So that means that I should shut up and just read the scripture, and I'd be much better off. You would be much better off too. All right, we're looking at Matthew, the 28th chapter, and we're going to start with verse 1. All right, here we go. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took a hold of his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May God bless to our minds and hearts the reading of his word. You know, a chaplain in the military or in the penal system must be willing and able to deal with people from different types of religious or non-religious backgrounds. It is an interesting challenge at times to do that. Some of our servicemen and women and prisoners are Christian. Some of them are Islamic. Some of them are Wiccan. Some are Buddhist, and some are of various other flavors of religion, such as Shintoism and Hinduism. Under the Christian category are various denominations such as Baptist and Methodist, Presbyterian, Episcopalian, Lutheran, Catholic, Mormon, and Jehovah's Witness, and Pentecostal. Although the government includes Mormon and Jehovah's Witness, as under Christian, most denominations would not classify them as such. We don't in the Associate Reformed Presbyterian Church. The state of North Carolina recognizes some 13 different religions. Some of these I had not known about before until I started working at the state prison down in Burgaw. Groups such as Morris Science Temple of America, Hebrew Israelite, and Asatru were unfamiliar to me. There are other religions that the United States military recognizes that the state of North Carolina does not recognize, such as the Church of Satan and the Church of Scientology. When ministering in a local church, you know, a minister really doesn't usually have to get involved with these other groups. The minister kind of stays within the group that he's ministering to. In this case, it would be our church here. And he stays within his own denomination pretty much. and doesn't get exposed to these other groups. But that could be a good educational experience. I have become much more appreciative, let me tell you, of the truths and the doctrines of Christianity, having seen some of these other religions and making a comparison between them and what Christianity has to say and offer. You know, other groups I find depend upon works. The individual has to work like crazy to get to what they call their heaven. Other groups do not emphasize love in relationships with their people. Their God doesn't love them, and they don't love each other. There's not that much of a relationship between people. The gods of other religions are more impersonal. That's a very impersonal and distant at best. There is no forgiveness that I can find in any of these other religions. None whatsoever. There is no Savior and no resurrection. I find that all these religious groups have really nothing to offer in comparison to Christianity. Now, you don't have to believe me. That's okay. Go find out for yourself. Do a little study on your own, and I think you'll find that what I've said is true. Some years ago, I was involved in a substance abuse program as a staff person. In order to prepare myself for that position to help with this program, I read the Big Book. Does anybody know what the Big Book is? The Big Book is the original book written by Tom and Bill, and I think there was one or two other men that established the AA program. And I read that book from the front page all the way to the back page, every page. And it's a story about how the Alcoholics Anonymous program began and a detailed explanation of the content of that program. After reading the Big Book, it was clear to me, it was crystal clear to me, that the men who wrote that book and started the AA program were Christian men, and that they were using principles found in the Bible, in the Scripture, to develop that 12-step program. Absolutely no question about it. You couldn't miss it. It was so obvious. The AA program was very successful in rehabilitating people with addiction problems, no matter whether it was drugs, alcohol, overeating, you can name it. It was very successful in rehabilitating people. However, as I discovered some years later, the program had been changed to accommodate different religious beliefs. And it was no longer founded strongly upon Christianity. The God of the Bible became a higher power. Higher power. Any hint of Jesus Christ or need of salvation was either watered down or removed from the program. The result was that the AA program lost its effectiveness. Rehabilitation can only happen, friends, only happen. It can only occur when the heart of the individual is changed. There is no rehabilitation without the heart changing. And the AA program was not changing any hearts. It had been effectively watered down to the point where it didn't mean much of anything. I once asked a recovering alcoholic, "What is your higher power?" And that person walked up to a chalkboard, drew a line, and said, "That's my higher power." That is sad, isn't it? It's terrible. Other religions fail to change the heart of those who worship in that religion. But Christianity changes people at their very core, their souls are changed. Christianity can do this because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God. I want to run through these things very quickly if I can. You'll see the points. These are not complicated points. You already know these things. So I'm just basically going to remind you of some things about the resurrection. And the first thing I want to remind you about is the fact that the resurrection, that there is a resurrection. You know, we can't talk about something if it doesn't exist, but the resurrection does exist. There is a resurrection. Did you realize that? Matthew 22, verses 23-32 says this: "The same day the Sadducees came to him," that is to Jesus, "who say that there is no resurrection, and they asked him a question, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said if a man dies having no children, his brother must marry the widow and raise up offspring for his brother.' Now there were seven brothers among us. The first married and died, having no offspring left his wife. He left his wife to his brother. So to the second and third, down to the seventh. After them all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, of the seven, whose wife will she be? For they all had her as a wife. But Jesus answered them, 'You are wrong, because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was said to you by God? I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' There is no doubt in the mind of Jesus that the resurrection is real. It's a fact. Do you remember that scene on the mountain in Matthew 17, where it says, after 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. He was there transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as snow, or white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah.' Moses and Elijah had died hundreds of years before this event. Yet they were alive, talking with Jesus on the mountain." You see, the fact of the resurrection is real. It's not planned. It's not a fictitious thing. It's not something somebody made up. It's a fact. The resurrection is real. The second point is this: all people will be resurrected. All people will be resurrected. That means every one of you will be resurrected. If you die before the Lord comes back, you will be in the grave, and then you will be called out from the grave. You will be resurrected from the grave, every one of you. John chapter 5 talks about that. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He has not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming, and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment." Everyone is going to be resurrected from the dead, from the grave, from the tomb. Some will receive eternal life, while others will receive eternal punishment. If you die, you will be resurrected. You are either going to go to heaven, the place where you will be with or in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, or you will go to hell, the place of eternal punishment. There is no in between. There is no place to go where you won't, you can just kind of hang out. You will not be annihilated either. You will be alive in one of those two places. But you must receive Jesus Christ as your Savior before you die. You must believe in Him before you die. You must repent of your wrongdoing, your sin, and receive the forgiveness of Jesus before you take your last breath. You can choose to trust Jesus Christ today. Won't you do that now before it's too late? I'm going to pause for 1 minute to let you think about this. And if there's anybody out here in this congregation who hasn't answered that question, you know whether or not you have the Lord as your Savior. And I want you to think about what we just said. And you can make say that that you want the Lord as your Savior, and He will save you. So let's take a moment to do that. Thank you, Father, that you reach down and meet us where we are. If there is anyone in our congregation today that has made a commitment to trust in Christ, I pray that you would let that person come forward and talk to myself or one of our elders. I pray this in your name. Amen. Now, it's true that there's not only a resurrection and that all of us are going to be resurrected. It is also true that Jesus was resurrected. We have to understand that. That it wasn't just some story that somebody made up. And we just read that in our passage as we started the message today of how the women went to the tomb and how the angel met them there and said, Jesus is not here. And then as they turned around to go tell the others, Jesus appeared to them, and they grabbed his feet and they worshiped him. And he said to them, don't be afraid, but go tell my brothers to go to Galilee and I will meet them there. They'll see me there. And then we also read the passage of Scripture, Charles read it, where it in 1 Corinthians it talks about Jesus' resurrection. And in addition to that, not only did he appear to Cephas, and then to the 12. But he also appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom were still alive at the time Paul wrote that scripture, although some had fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to Paul himself on the road to Damascus. There is no doubt historically that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It would be silly and impossible or ridiculous to say that that didn't happen. It's a trustworthy thing. It's a fact of history that Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It's also a fact, as we see from the scripture, that Jesus' resurrection is the foundation of Christianity. Without it, we have nothing to believe in. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says this. This is an important passage of Scripture for us to know. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as risen from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. It's empty. And your faith is in vain. That's empty. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testify that God, we testify about God that He raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that there is no that the dead are not raised to life. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by one man, or by a man, came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What a wonderful scripture that is. We're wasting our time preaching. It is stupid and silly for me to stand up here and preach if there is no resurrection. Well, I'm a fool. I'm an idiot. You can think of all kinds of things to call me, and you'd be right. If there was no resurrection, you would be right. And not only that, friends, you're a fool too. What are you doing sitting out there listening to something that's foolish? Don't you know any better? Why are you wasting your time? Oh, you're just getting a little insurance over here, huh? Let's come to church so we get a little insurance, just in case there might be some truth in that. I hope you're not there. I hope you're not here for that reason. No, all this is foolish. That church next door to us, that big old church over there, what a bunch of dummies they are. They put all that money in that church. They're over there worshiping, doing all these things, and it doesn't mean anything because there is no resurrection. That's what Paul is saying here. There is no point at all without the resurrection. It is the foundation of our belief. And if it's not, then shame on us for telling a lie and for misleading others in telling them that Jesus was raised from the dead. We should be stopped from spreading lies and giving people false hope if the resurrection is not real and if it didn't happen. Well, those who trust in Jesus for their salvation will be resurrected to life. In John 11th chapter, it says, Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Never die. Jesus is guaranteed that if we believe in him, we shall never die. We will die physically, but not our souls, which are the real you, by the way. Your soul will go to be with the Lord, with Jesus. And in that day when Jesus calls all people from the grave, we who believe in him will join with our soul to live with him forever in heaven. We know that's true. It's true for certain. We do not need to doubt that at all. There is no doubt in that. Our resurrected bodies will be eternal bodies. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. Now, we don't know exactly what we're going to be precisely. We do know that we will have a glorified body, as Jesus had when he was raised from the dead. And we also know that we will be recognizable, because he was recognizable when he came back from the dead and saw his apostles. They recognized who he was. Well, I'm going to finish right now. Dear friends, the resurrection is real. We will all be resurrected. Nobody's going to be left out. Jesus was resurrected and led the way for all of us. He was the first fruits of that resurrection. His resurrection is the foundation of our faith, the foundation of Christianity, and it's his resurrection upon which Christianity stands and will always stand. If there is no resurrection, then we ought to be pitied as fools and liars. Those who believe in Jesus Christ for their salvation will be resurrected to eternal life, and they'll be with Jesus in heaven. Our resurrected bodies will be glorified in that day when Jesus calls us from the grave. Jesus will call everyone from the grave, and those who believe in him will receive eternal life, while those who don't believe will receive eternal punishment. If you were to die today, I don't know whether you will be raised to life or raised to punishment on that resurrection day. I don't know that about you. But you know. You know what's in your heart and what's in the depths of your soul. You know that. You know it better than anyone else. And you must decide who to believe. Is it going to be Jesus, or is it going to be Satan? Will you go to heaven or to hell? These are questions you have to answer for yourself. I can't do it for you. These are eternal questions. These are significant questions. These are the most important questions you can answer, ask and answer of yourself. And you will be raised from the dead, and you will be answering the question. I would pray that everyone here would be raised to eternal life, and there would be no one who would be raised to eternal punishment. You can't reverse anything once that happens. Once you take your last breath, that's it. You've had all the opportunity you're going to get. May God help us in what we do and think. Amen. Let's close with prayer, and then we'll sing our last hymn. Father, we are so grateful that you give us your word and scripture that helps us to think about these things. We ask that your Holy Spirit would apply what we've done today, what we've read today, of your word, that you would, the Holy Spirit would apply that to our own minds and hearts and cause us to think seriously about these issues, because they're eternal issues. And I pray that everyone in here, if they aren't now, that everyone in here would come to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. That the time for kidding or putting off, the time for denying, is over. May you receive the glory and the honor. May Jesus Christ be exalted. Amen.